This morning I'm going to preach to you a message that God gave to me, and boy, it just really, really touched me. And I believe that the church today, the church world as a whole needs to hear it, but I believe that our church here at Centerpoint needs to hear it as well. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Luke, the 7th chapter. I'm going to be reading in Luke's Gospel this morning, starting at about the 36th verse. And if I would have a title this morning, it would be this: Do you want a visit from God, or do you want to be delivered? Now think about that. Do you want a visit from God, or do you want to be delivered? Because church, today there are a lot of Christians walking around who are still in bondage of something. There are Christians today that are in bondage in their family. They have troubles and strife on a consistent basis. There are people today, Christians today, that are in bondage to their jobs. There are Christians today that are in bondage to things that you know, stumbling blocks that get into our way. And I want you to know something this morning, and if you leave with anything, this is what I would want it to be: that God's purpose for you is not to simply accept Him and try to live a Christian life while still in bondage. He wants to set you free this morning. He wants to set you free as an individual. He wants to set your home free. He wants to set your church free. And just concentrate on that as we preach to you today. In Luke chapter 7, starting at verse number 36, and we're going to be reading quite a few verses, so just bear with us this morning. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, God, one more time, thanking you, Lord, for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. God, we thank you, Lord, one more time for allowing us to be here in your house this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you, Father, for the reading of your holy word. We thank you, God, for the message, God, that you've blessed us with. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would anoint me, your servant, God, that you would anoint my mouth with the words that you would have me to speak. Lord, that you'd anoint my heart and mind, God, that I would say and do the things that would be pleasing to you. And God, that you would anoint the ears of those that are here today, God, to hear this message, Father, and to apply it to their hearts and lives. Lord, help us to distinguish within ourselves, Lord, if we're simply satisfied with a visit from you, or if we truly want deliverance, God. We just pray, Lord, that you'd set us free this morning, God, from the things that keep our minds occupied, from the things that, as the Word tells us, so easily beset us. Help us to put those things aside, God, and to concentrate on you and to allow your Spirit to minister to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. This morning, as I said, I want to talk to you a little while about a visit or deliverance. We see here in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke that the Bible says that there was a Pharisee. It doesn't really give his name until later on. It calls him by the name of Simon. And this Pharisee, the Bible says in the first verse that we read there, in verse 36, that he desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. This man had wanted to spend a visit with Jesus. He had wanted to spend a little bit of time with him. No doubt he had heard of the things that Jesus had been doing. And no doubt he had seen some of the miracles that had been performed. And we find in our studies of the four Gospels that there were actually two different groups of Pharisees during this time. There was the group of Pharisees that hated and despised Jesus and didn't like the fact that he was becoming so popular and didn't like the fact that he was convincing these people that he was who he said he was. And they just completely didn't want to have anything to do with him. But then there was another group that the Bible tells us about that included Nicodemus and Simon of Arimathea that actually were part of the same clan, but that they actually did believe that Jesus was something. We find in the 3rd chapter of the book of John that the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night one time, and he began to talk to him. And one of the first things that he said to him was this: "Master, we know that you are come from God, because no man can do the things you do except for he be from God." And so we know that there were some Pharisees who knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And they knew that He was the Messiah because of the fact that all of the miracles and proofs followed Him wherever He went. But there were also some, I believe, that were trying to figure out if He was or if He wasn't. And I believe that Jesus respected that. There are different times where we find Jesus having interludes with the Pharisees. And some of them He spoke highly of, and some of them He completely just told them they were on the wrong track. But in this story, I see a man here who was trying to figure out just who Jesus really was. And he said, "Lord, I want you to come to my house and I want to share a meal with you." And the Bible says that whenever Jesus was there, that there was a woman in that city who was a great sinner. And when she heard that Jesus had come to visit this man, she decided that she wanted to be part of that group that was going to see him there. The Bible says that she didn't come to the door and knock and ask for an invitation. She didn't worry about whether or not they were going to like her being there. She was only having one thing on her mind, and that was that she simply needed to get to the feet of the Master. Church, listen to me. We need people in the church today that have the mentality of the woman that we read about. We need people today that are not concerned about what mom or dad thinks, or not concerned about what husband or wife thinks, or not concerned about what the rest of the church thinks, but just says, "I only have one goal, and that is simply to fall down at the feet of the Master." Listen to me. God appreciates people that adore Him. God appreciates those that long after His Son. And this woman right here, she had something in her heart. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she had things that needed to be taken care of. But she also knew that this man Jesus had been going about, and He had not been condemning people. He had not been trying to find things that were wrong with those that had come into contact with Him. But He had been forgiving. Or perhaps she had heard about the woman that had been caught in adultery and had been brought before Him, and how that He told her, "Where are thine accusers? Are there none here?" And she said, "None, Lord." And He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Maybe she had a conviction within her, knowing that her life up to this time had been something that was problematic, something that had caused issues in her life, and she was wanting to be freed from all that. And she thought, "Perhaps this man Jesus will have the same mercy on me that He's had on other people that I've heard about." And where the man who had invited Jesus to come over for a meal had simply wanted to visit with Him. Sister Mildred, she wanted deliverance from Him. And church, that's what I'm talking to you about today. Because I think sometimes in the churches and in the Christian world, we're satisfied enough with just a visit from Jesus. We're satisfied enough with just a little bit of time with Him. Just something where He steps down and we feel His presence. And then we say, "Well, that's enough. I'm back on track. I'm back where I need to be, Lord. I'm just going to go my way. Now come and visit me another time." And that's not what real Christianity is all about. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. That's a good old song that I can remember hearing as a young man of people get up there. Oh, listen, for every day that you make it, one may a day more with Jesus is one day closer that you are to that wonderful thing that we're all looking for. Listen, I want you to know something, church. We've got too much to gain to lose now. And I said, it's kind of like when you're in prison. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been in prison or if you have relatives or friends who've been in prison. But I watch a lot of television, cop drama, TV. It doesn't qualify me necessarily know much about prison, but I've seen the programs, you know, where when you go and you visit someone in prison, there's a barrier between you and them, and you sit down on one side and they sit on the other side, and you get to spend a season of time with them. You get to talk to them and have an interlude there with them, and you know, and I'm sure it makes them feel better when they have that visitation time. And I told my wife, I said, it's almost like there's some people out there that Jesus comes to the prison where they're at. Now listen to me, bear with me. And He has the keys to the prison that they're living in. He has the keys to the sins that are holding them back or to the problems that are holding them back. And He says, here's the keys and I'm going to unlock the door. And He sits down and He talks with them and He says, I've got everything that you need. Everything's been cleared. The price has been paid for you. I've done the work and it's been accomplished. All has been fulfilled. And so let's just go ahead. And He starts to get you excited because you're spending time with Jesus and you talk to Him and you're praying with Him and you're communicating with Him and things begin to make you feel better. And then Jesus looks at you and says, okay, I'm going to unlock the door and let's go. And you say, no, no, Lord. See, I belong here. I belong in here because I've done this and because I've done that. Lord, I need to stay in here because I'm really not worthy of the freedom that You're offering me. God, I need to stay in here because I've done so many things that people don't even know about. And I'm really not worthy to be set free. And Jesus says, no, just come on. It's already been paid for. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. It's in the depths of the sea. No one can hold it against you anymore. If the enemy comes to you, you just show him that the blood of Christ is upon your life. He can't hold it against you. Well, no, Lord, I need to stay in here. But I tell you what, come back in a little while and visit with me because I'm sure I'm going to get back down and I'm going to need a pick-me-up before long. Church, Jesus is not a pick-me-up today. He has the key to every prison that every one of us that is in this house sits in today. He has the key to every bondage that holds you back and holds you down. And so many times we would prefer for Him just to come and visit with us and make us feel better and to relieve our conviction for just a little bit instead of just simply raising the chains and saying, Jesus, set me free, break me loose and allow me to go and be free for You. Church, He doesn't want you sitting in the prison today. He doesn't want to just be visiting with you for a season, but He wants to set you free and allow you to go and be what He intends for you to be this morning. So my question is this, do you have the mentality of the Pharisee who wanted to visit? Or do you have the mentality of the woman who wanted to be set free? She wasn't invited to the party. The Bible says that as Jesus was sitting there and as she came in, and because of the conviction and the admiration that was within her heart, she began to cry and began to wet His feet with her tears. And begin to just sob. We don't see where she ever spoke a word. Listen to me, church. Have you ever been so broken that you just simply fell down at an altar somewhere and you couldn't even talk to God? But the Bible says the Holy Spirit begins to interpret what you're saying on the inside and begins to convey it to God. Listen, that's whenever revival can happen in your life, is when you don't even know what to say, what to ask, or how to respond. But God's Spirit just penetrates your heart. She was sitting there and she was bawling her eyes out. And it became such a deal where she began to take her hair and begin to dry His feet. And then she took the precious ointment that she had and she anointed Him there because of the admiration and the love that she had for them. And all the while the Pharisee is sitting over there saying, well, I guess I have the answer that I needed. Because if He was as high and mighty as I was expecting Him to be, then He would know who this woman was. It's no secret. It's no big surprise, the things that she's done. It's all around town. There's been all kinds of people that know the things that she's been involved with and the things that she's done and what type of person that she's been. And oh yeah, she's acted sorry before and she's tried to make people think that she turned over a new leaf. But if He knew these things, if He was truly a prophet, He would know who she was. And Jesus asked Him something. He said, I need to talk to you. And he said, okay, go ahead. Now I'm just using regular old Arkansas English now. He said, I want to ask you something. There was a man that had two debtors that owed him some money. One owed a whole bunch and another one owed a little bit. And because neither one of them could pay, he frankly forgave them both. Wiped the slate clean. See, in today's way, and in the way that we look at things, that's just not fair, see? It's just not fair. Why should he, you know, I owed so much more, so much little, so much less. Why is it that he would, that's none of your business. Church, listen to me. It's between the debtor and the creditor. He said he forgave them both. Who is going to love him more? He said, well, I suppose the one that owed the most. He said, you've rightly judged. He said, this woman has come here. You invited me to your house. You didn't kiss me. You didn't offer me any feet or any water to wash my feet. You didn't offer me anything. You didn't anoint my head with oil. Because you just simply wanted to visit. But she has come and she's washed my feet with her tears. And she's dried them with her hair. And she's anointed my feet with this oil, which, you know, I've not done the research, but from what I've heard and from what I've read, it was a very, very valuable thing that she held there. And she simply poured it out upon his feet. And he said, for her, whose sins are many because of this, they're forgiven. Amen. They're forgiven. Church, listen to me. She didn't ask a thing. She didn't open her mouth and give a great oration of as to why she deserved the forgiveness and the mercy of God. So many times we sit back and we say, God, am I not worthy of your forgiveness? Listen, the answer to that is no. You're not worthy of the forgiveness of God. No, you're not worthy of the mercy of God. No, you're not worthy of the grace of God. I don't care if your parents brought you to church from the time you were 3 days old and you've been here every single day since then. You are not worthy of the grace and the mercy of God. It's only through the sacrifice made by Christ Jesus that we can obtain the glory of God. Listen, I want you to know something. He was in no better condition than her because of the fact that he had done less wrong in his life. He still was in need of a saving grace from God. But he chose a visit over deliverance. I'm not going to turn over there, but over in Luke chapter number 17, we find another story where the Bible talks about 10 lepers. And Jesus walked by them one day and they all began to cry out for His mercy and began to cry out for His healing. And Jesus simply told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were walking away, the Bible says they were healed. And one of them went back and fell down on his knees before Jesus. And Jesus said, where's the other nine that were here? Where are the others that were healed with you? Were there not 10, but yet only one? This stranger, and the reason that they called him a stranger was because he was a Samaritan. He was not of the house of Abraham. He was not of Jewish descent. He was a filthy Samaritan, the way that they considered it. And he yet came back and gave thanks to God. And Jesus looked at him. And I love the statement that he made, because the others were healed. But Jesus looked at him and said, because of your faith, you are made whole. You know you can be healed and not be made whole? You say, what are you talking about? Go back and research and study. You'll find there are places where Jesus healed, and there are places where he looked at him and said, your faith has made you whole. When you are healed, you are physically well. When you're made whole, God has changed the inside with the outside and turned you into a new creature. Many of us today, we want something from God. We want the visit that we're talking about. Oh Lord, there's a need in my life right now. God, there's something. And without you, I'm not going to be able to make it. It might be a healing. It might be a financial burden. It might be something where that you need something from God, just like the 10 lepers needed. And after you've received it, you're like the 9. You walk away and say, oh, I'm back on top again. You forget about the fact that you've not been made whole, but that you've simply received something from God. And it's because you've chosen a visit with Jesus to complete deliverance. The leper that came back was delivered. The lepers that walked on were simply healed. You say, I've never thought about it like that, preacher. Listen, church, there's a difference in things. So many of us today, we think that as long as we meet the status quo, as long as we've come down to an altar somewhere, as long as we've accepted Jesus into our hearts and into our lives, as long as we've gone under the water and come back up, that everything is well. That does not purchase your place with God. Jesus said, many in that day will say unto me, Lord, Lord, and will not enter in. Many will say, did we not cast out demons? Did we not go and visit the sick? Did we not go and help the poor? Listen to me. They're trying to base their salvation on the works that they have done. That means nothing to God, because Paul said, it's not based on works, lest any should boast. It's not how many preaching times or how many sermons that you've preached. It's not how many sick people that you've visited. It's not how many times you stood up and testified or how many dollars you gave in the offering plate. It goes much deeper than that today. And many of us need to be delivered from these things that we think save us and allow God to truly come in and make us born again. I'm talking about a visit or a deliverance today, church. Which do you want? Which do you prefer? Over in Luke chapter number 8, and this is the last scripture reference that we're going to deal with today. Luke chapter number 8. In verse number 26, it says this. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus stepped out of the boat, and there was a man there that didn't just need a visit, but he needed to be delivered. There was a man there, the Bible says, that had had devils for a long time. They had bound him with fetters and with chains, and when they would, he would break them free. In one of the Gospels, it said that he would spend his time in the tombs cutting himself and wailing and moaning and groaning. Why? Because there was something within him that was controlling him. There's many of us today who have something within us that's controlling us. And a lot of times we don't even realize it or acknowledge it. And it's contrary to God. And this man, I used to look at this story totally different when I was a youngster, but I've come to a conclusion on this thing because I used to misunderstand it. I used to not be able to understand how it was that this man who was full of the devil would have any inkling or desire to want to go anywhere where Jesus was. But we find that whenever Jesus stepped off, he ran toward him and fell down before him. And I thought, if it only makes sense to me that the devil would want to get him as far away from him as he could. And God began to minister to me. And he began to talk to me, and he showed me that although this man was full of the devil, there was still enough humanity within him that whenever he saw this man Jesus and saw that he was able to deliver him, not visit with him, but deliver him, that there was enough man still left within there and enough control for him to fight against the powers that were trying to keep him from Jesus and cause him to fall down before him and say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I've been bound for years. I can't control myself, but there's something different about you that I can see, and I need you in my life to deliver me and to set these things out of me. Church, listen to me. You may be bound by something for years. You may have something in your life that your spouse don't know about, that your family doesn't know about, and you say, I don't see any way of freeing myself from this. It's because you can't, but there is one today who can. His name is Jesus, and he holds the keys to every bondage that's out there, and he will set you free if you'll let him this morning. Bible says he fell before him. And the demons acknowledged who he was. I love that passage of Scripture because that shows me that no matter how many of them were there, the strength is not in numbers when it comes to God. You can have 10 million demons and one Jesus, and Jesus will prevail. And Jesus cast them out. And they ran into the swine, and the swine ran down the hill and choked themselves in the water. And those that were hurting the swine went into the city and began to tell the story. And what is truly troublesome to me is the fact that when the Bible says that the people of the city came out and saw this man who'd been a wild man sitting there in his right mind and clothed, that they were afraid. They were more scared because he was sitting peaceably than when he was a wild demoniac tormenting their town. Church, listen to me. People today are afraid of a move of God. Let me tell you that again. People today are afraid of a genuine, true move of God. There are people in this building that if God began to move, you would be scared to death and be looking for an exit. Don't laugh because I may be talking about you. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about seeing real revival take place. I'm talking about seeing people stand up and raising their hands and shouting the victory and jumping pews and thanking God. You say, well, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not either, but I'm a born-again Christian and I've got something to be thankful for and something to praise God for. Listen to me. We need to see a real move of God and not be afraid when it happens. And they were so scared that whenever they saw him sitting there, they looked at Jesus and said, we'd like to ask you to leave. We're just not used to this type of movement of God. We're used to having demoniacs run around. And we're more comfortable with that. Church, do you want a visit today or do you want deliverance? Do you want just a time with God? Or do you want your life to be with Him? Because that's the difference today. That's what sets homes free. That's what sets people free. That's what sets churches free. Not a visit with God, but the deliverance from God. The deliverance that He brings. Let us stand all over the house this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Church, this message is as much for Center Point as it was for Welcome Home when I preached it there. This message is as much for every church that calls Jesus Lord. This message is for every member of every church because I believe today that we have Christians today that are living in the prisons and they're satisfied with an occasional visit from the Father. But church, listen to me. God doesn't want it to be that way. He wants you to be free. He wants to deliver you. So if you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've been playing around. Preacher, I've been letting people think that I was living the way I'm supposed to. I've been letting people think that everything was well with my soul. I've been letting people think that everything was all right with my Christian relationship. But there's things that need to be worked on and I need to be delivered. Then this message was for you and you need to come and hit this altar this morning. You say, preacher, that's some pretty hard preaching. Listen, church, sometimes we need it. Sometimes we need it. Yes, we need to be exhorted. Yes, we need to be encouraged and lifted up. But there are times when God has to get on to us just like we do our children. Why? Because He loves us. And He wants to set us free. If you're here this morning and you're living in bondage, you feel like the chains are just wrapped around you so tightly, you can't hardly even move. And you say, I need a Savior to set me free. There's one present here today. All we have to do is accept Him. Is there one this morning? If you're here this morning and you need to come pray, please come as we pray this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank You so much for this message because it woke me up.
God, I thank You, Father, for Your Word and for Your Scripture. I thank You that no matter how long we've walked with You, that You can still show us what we need to see. God, I pray this morning, Father, God, for each and every soul that is in this midst this morning, God, that You deal with hearts and lives. God, that You would touch those that haven't eaten their life. Lord, there may be some here that are living in bondage. There may be some that are facing struggles with sin. There may be some that are in bondage to sickness or disease or to financial burdens. And God, we know that You have the key to all of it. And so we're praying, Lord, that they would come to You, not for a visit, not for a season with Christ, but to be delivered from You, God. Touch them this morning. In Jesus' name.